Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Building Cost-Effective Storage Area Networking Conference Call. My name is Angelique. I'll be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will facilitate a question-and-answer session towards the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please key star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the call over to your host for today's call, Kawal Johal, Cisco Analyst Relations. Please proceed, ma'am.
Thank you, Angelique. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is Kawal Johal in Cisco's Analyst Relations Department, and once again, welcome to our AR Speaker Series teleconference on building cost-effective storage area networks. In the July launch of our Cisco Data Center 3.0 initiative, we announced new storage area networking solutions that will help customers build cost-effective storage area networks. In today's teleconference, we will discuss the challenges we see customers facing and bring you up to speed on these new products. These include additions to the MDS family of products, which serve as a cornerstone for Cisco's overall data center strategy. After the presentation, we will have a question and answer period. The operator will poll the participants on the phone lines for any questions you may have. We will also use this time to address questions we have received in advance of the call. Please note that we will be sending out a short survey to all participants following the call, and I wish to thank you in advance in providing your candid feedback. Today's presenters are Rajiv Bardwaj and Deepak Manjal. Rajiv is the Director of Product Management in Cisco's Data Center Business Unit. He has over 20 years of experience in product management and software development in storage area networks, data networking, and wireless. Deepak has more than 15 years of networking industry experience and is currently a senior meeting manager for data center solutions at Cisco. I'd now like to turn the call over to Rajiv.
Thank you, Kawal. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I know some of you are dialed in from Asia Pac, so I really appreciate your taking the time. So I'm on slide number one, and like Kawal suggested, this represents the next phase of evolution in Cisco's data center storage networking strategy. We introduced the MDS product line for storage networking in 2002, and our strategy has been consistent since that day. It was a three-phase evolution of storage networks. Phase one was consolidation, phase two was virtualization, and phase three was automation. We at Cisco have been innovating in that space. For consolidation, we introduced capabilities such as vSANs, routing to enable SAN island consolidation, to enable disaster recovery, business continuity solutions in the network. In the second phase, we introduced storage virtualization or block virtualization, where customers can take multiple heterogeneous storage arrays, pool them together as a logical resource. And now what this announcement represents is our next phase in the evolution, which is automation. And when we talk about automation, what we're doing today is we are enabling a services-oriented SAN in the data center. And let's look at this. Before we go into the specifics of what this is, let's look at some of the trends we are seeing in the data center from a storage perspective. One of the trends we are seeing is a lot of focus worldwide on compliance and regulatory needs. Be it Sarbanes-Oxley, be it HIPAA, more and more mandates in terms of how information is handled and making sure the confidentiality and the privacy of the information is preserved. That's one. Second thing is, if this information gets compromised, there is business risk, there's financial risk, and in some instances, there's civil penalties. So what that means is that customers are looking for ability to encrypt data as it resides on the physical media. The media could be a storage array, the media could be a tape. So if a tape gets lost, and if the information on the tape is encrypted, the information will not get compromised. So that's a trend we are seeing develop in the data center from a storage networking perspective. Second trend we are seeing in the data center is more and more information is being created. More and more information is being stored for a longer amount of time, And on top of that, you throw in the compliance and regulatory requirements, whereby information has to be stored for a much longer amount of time, one can see there's an explosion in terms of storage. And what that means now is a lot of information gets created, and it has to get moved across heterogeneous storage arrays. At the same time, businesses have to make sure that when this data gets moved across storage arrays, it is transparent to the applications, i.e. there's no downtime. So we are seeing the need for data mobility in the data center. And the third trend we are seeing in the data center is the movement towards blade servers. And as customers move towards blade servers in the data center, it poses new set of challenges in terms of addressing the storage networking needs for these blade servers. So from our perspective, what Cisco is doing in this announcement, 3.2 announcement, is we are enabling a services-oriented SAN to enable the next phase of our evolution in the data center, which is automation. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide number 3. And this is the gut, this is actually the main core of this discussion today. So SANOS 3.2 is our software release where we are enabling secure information management. What we mean by secure information management is the intelligence and the flexibility in the network to enable services such as encryption of data on tapes and disks, with flexibility to migrate data on an online basis across heterogeneous arrays, and simplifying blade server management. These set of services is what enables secure information management. In order to enable these services, we are introducing 3 new hardware platforms to our portfolio of MDS products. The MDS9222i, this is a modular fabric switch with multi-protocol, multi-service intelligence. The MDS18.4 port multi-services module, this is a line card that goes into a chassis-based solution. And then the MDS9134, this is our 1RU high-density 4-gig fiber channel fabric switch. So we're introducing 3 new hardware platforms and 3 new feature sets, the storage media encryption, which is SME. SME enables encryption of data on disks and encryption of data on tapes. Data Mobility Manager, which is DMM, which provides the flexibility to move data across heterogeneous storage arrays. And NPV, which stands for Endpoint Virtualizer, which is the flexibility to simplify deployment of large-scale blade server solutions in the data center. So that's kind of the core of what we're announcing. And let's look at slide number 4. Before we get into these services, let's look at Cisco's vision in terms of how we've evolved our platforms. In SAN OS 1.0, which is in 2002, we introduced what we call as intelligent fiber channel switching line cards. These were 2 gig fiber channel speed. We introduced capabilities such as vSAN and SAN routing. In SAN OS 2.0, which was in 2006 timeframe, actually 2004 timeframe, we introduced capabilities such as multi-protocol intelligence. And what I mean by that is capabilities such as iSCSI and SCIP, so that customers could deploy these platforms for extended distances to address disaster recovery and business continuity requirements. In SANOS 3.0, which is this part of this release, we are now introducing, we're taking the same platforms, and we're taking the same platforms and making sure these platforms are multi-service enabled. So we started with intelligent switching, added multi-protocol capability, and now we're containing these same platforms, adding multi-service intelligence. And let's talk about what this multi-service intelligence means. I'm now on slide number 5. So 2 new platforms we're introducing that are multi-service capable, the MDS9222i, which is a semi-modular fabric switch, and the MSM multi-service module, 18 fiber channel ports and 4 gigabit Ethernet ports. This is a line card, if you will, that goes into our modular platforms. As you can see, these platforms are more like Swiss Army knife. They can do fiber channel, they can do multi-protocol like iSCSI FCIP, and now they can provide storage media encryption as a service. So with software, there's flexibility to enable services in the SAN using these platforms. And one thing Cisco, you know, it takes very seriously, you know, is our commitment to our customers is investment protection. As we've introduced these advanced platforms, there's complete forward and backward compatibility so that our customers have flexibility to deploy these solutions in environments that best fit their operational needs. I'm now on slide number 6. So we introduced these new platforms. So to enable automation in the SAN, we need services. In order to enable these services, we need to make sure these services are delivered in a manner that is transparent to the servers and is transparent to the end devices such as storage arrays and tapes. So we have added intelligence so that these services such as encryption, services such as data migration, can be extended to any server, any storage device in the SAN. There's no need to rewire. There's no need to change any zoning configuration. And all of this is delivered in a clustered, highly available solution with wizard-based provisioning. So this forms the foundation for enabling the services we'll talk about in the next set of slides. I'm now on slide number 7. So let's talk about one of the services we are enabling in this release, which is storage media encryption. Like we discussed, storage media encryption is the ability of the network, in this case the MDS-based SAN, to encrypt data seamlessly, transparently onto a tape or a disk. It supports heterogeneous storage devices, so I can have now as a customer a single unified solution for encryption of data in the network, be it a disk from vendor A or a vendor B, be it a tape from a vendor A or a vendor B. So have one centralized encryption of data at rest solution in the SAN. Of course, when we encrypt data on a tape or a disk, key management becomes a very important requirement. So we have open APIs that integrate with enterprise-wide key management solutions, so that customers can get lifecycle management of this key from a backup, archiving, disaster recovery perspective. Clearly, when we encrypt data on tape, important point is to make sure compression is turned on. So not only we encrypt data when we write to a tape, we also compress data. And clearly, this is a security solution, so we are actually working on the highest level of certification when it comes to storage media encryption. So these platforms, the MDS 9222i and the MSM 18-4 line cards, we are actually taking them through FIPS level certification, and we will actually take the MSM 18-4 line card and get it FIPS level 3 certified, which in essence is the highest level of certification by the federal government, so that our customers can be assured that when deployed in an environment, you know, security will not get compromised. I'm now on slide number 8. So SME, storage media encryption, the way this will work is two ways you can deploy it. One way is take the 18-4 line card, enable storage media encryption, and as a line card, it can go into any of our platforms, be it our 9200 series platforms or 9500 series platforms. That's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is the MDS 9200 series itself will have encryption enabled. So either you can deploy it for your modular platforms as using a line card, or deploy a standalone fabric switch. So customers have flexibility of deploying both types of solutions. So that was storage media encryption. I'm now on slide number 9. Let's look at the next SAN service, which is the Data Mobility Manager, DMM. And like we discussed, enterprises are always creating more and more data. More and more data has to get moved across heterogeneous storage arrays. So that poses this challenge of data mobility in the SAN. So what DMM does is it provides the flexibility for our customer to enable a service in the SAN so that they can migrate data from an old array to a new array in a manner that is totally transparent to the applications. Today, when customers have to do data migration, they have to deploy tools either on the servers, which are host dependent, or they have to deploy tools that are actually in the network using an appliance, which could be disruptive, requires rewiring. What DMM does is it eliminates those limitations. So seamlessly, transparently, customers can now enable a data mobility service in the SAN. I'm now on slide number 10, and DMM is going to be enabled as a service running on a line card on the storage services module. The storage services module will have the special software, and you install the special software on this line card, and the line card can go into our 9200 series platforms or our 9500 series director platforms. I'm now on slide number 11. So far we've looked at Data Mobility Manager, Storage Media Encryption, we've looked at 9200 series platforms, we looked at the 84 platforms. The next thing you want to talk about is our MDS 9134 multi-layer fabric switch. Cisco introduced the 4 gig fabric switch, the MDS 9124, in November of 2006, which was a 24-port 4 gig fabric switch. It started with eight fabric channel ports fixed, and using licenses, customers could upgrade to 16 and 24 ports. MDS 9134 is an extension of that product family. MDS 9134 starts with a minimum of 24 ports, and using 8-port licenses, we can go from 24 ports to 32 ports, and then using 10 gig copper connections, customers can build a stackable solution that goes to 48 ports and 64 ports. So MDS 9134 is an evolution of our fabric switch portfolio that scales all the way up to 64 ports of fabric switch capability with 4 gig dedicated per port speed. Same SANOS features, and again, consistent capabilities from the core to the edge. The next slide, which is slide number 12, now talks about the endpoint virtualizer, if you will. And this is the third service that we are enabling in the SAN. The first one was Storage Media Encryption, Data Mobility Manager, and the third one now is the Endpoint Virtualizer. And to understand the benefit of Endpoint Virtualizer, let's take a step back. If you look at a data center today, from a storage networking perspective, there is large-scale consolidation. You know, from Cisco, if you look, our MDS product portfolio on the director class platforms, we have one chassis, the MDS 9513, where we can consolidate up to 528 ports in one chassis. So that's extreme consolidation, and of course there's power, space, cooling, and management benefits of the chassis. Now, if you look on the blade server side, the blade server chassis side, it is the opposite from a networking perspective. So clearly the benefits of blade servers are, you know, saving in power, space, and cooling for the blade servers. However, today, a blade server chassis typically has 16 servers. So for 16 servers, customers have to deploy a fiber channel switch. If I want to deploy 1,000 blade server solution, I would need at least 16-port fiber channel switches installed in these blade server chassis. So that kind of poses a challenge. In the core, I'm doing consolidation, I have fewer devices to manage, whereas in the blade servers, I have a proliferation of these fiber channel blade switches I have to manage. You know, the example I gave was 100 blade server solutions, 100 blade servers I want to deploy. Each blade server has 16 servers. That means I have to deploy a switch with 16 ports. If I do the math, it's about 60 such switches. So that kind of creates this complexity in terms of provisioning and management of these blade switches in the blade server. So what Endpoint Virtualizer does is very simply, it takes the blade switch, the Cisco blade switch that runs either in the IBM or the HP blade server chassis, and in essence, it converts the blade switch, instead of behaving like a fiber channel switch, it behaves like a host bus adapter. So it behaves like a NIC, if you will, at a high level. So in essence, we transform the switches in the blade servers to behave like host bus adapters. That solves two fundamental problems. First, it limits or reduces the number of switches that have to be managed in the SAN because there are no more switches in the blade servers. That's one. Second is it reduces the number of domain ID addresses. These are addresses that are assigned to switches. If switches don't have addresses, that reduces the domain ID usage in the data center. So these two problems are solved by Endpoint Virtualizer in the data center. And that in essence enables large scale deployments of blade server solutions in the data center. I'm now on slide number 13, and this is kind of a summary slide, if you will. So what we're doing with SANOS 3.2 is we are introducing platforms such as MDS9222i multi-protocol modular fabric switch and the multi-services module, which is the 18-4 line card, that provide the foundation for enabling services-oriented SAN. And we are enabling three services in the SAN: the encryption of tapes and disks with storage media encryption, online data migration with Data Mobility Manager Fabric, DMM services, and Endpoint Virtualizer for simplifying deployment and management of large-scale blade server deployment solutions in the data center. And finally, I'm on slide number 14, and Kamal, I don't know if you want to talk about this.
Great, Rajiv. Slide number 14 is just for folks on the phone. If you have follow-up questions that we're not able to address during the call today, please feel free to reach out to Amal Nichols or Ben Culp. Rajiv, thank you very much for that presentation. It was a great presentation. Operator, now at this point, I'd like for you to poll the audience for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star followed by 2. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star 1 to begin. Your first question comes from the line of Roger Karsk of Gartner. Please proceed, sir.
Hello, I have two questions. What are the availability for these new services that you just announced?
So Roger, these services right now, and as you know, you understand the go-to-market model. So we work with our partners such as IBM, EMC, HDS, HP. You know, so these products right now are in certification by our storage partners. We expect availability in October-November timeframe this year, as early as October.
Okay. And then the second question dealt with the key management on encryption. You mentioned open APIs. I mean, really, it's not about encryption. Almost anybody can do encryption. It's about key management. So give us some more information about how you expect key management to unfold with your new service.
Yes, that's a good question. So clearly, you know, encryption, anybody can do encryption. It's all about key management. So what we're doing is, from an open API perspective, let me take a step back. So we are building what we call a Cisco Key Management Center, whereby we provide key management capabilities so that customers can deploy the solutions with Cisco Key Manager solutions. But increasingly, our customers are saying, you know, great, Cisco, you have this tool. However, in my enterprise environment, I have a lot of other security projects, and I have an enterprise-wide key management solution. An example would be an RSA Key Manager. So, you know, I want the flexibility to use RSA Key Manager mm-hmm. to manage my keys. So for as an example, we are working on this API with RSA, whereby, you know, customers deploy SME, the storage media encryption, using the Cisco wizards. Cisco is going to create the keys, and these keys will get pushed using this API to RSA Key Manager. So RSA Key Manager will have this, through this API, will be able to extract the keys, take the keys, and provide lifecycle management of the keys. Store them, secure them, provide backup, provide recovery, provide disaster recovery solutions. So this API, which is a services-oriented API based on XML, is what we're working with RSA. Now, this is similarly modeled on some of the work that's happening in IEEE 1619 standard, which is a little early in terms of where this thing is shaping up, but this kind of activity kind of similar in terms of what we're trying to do, and Cisco, of course, and an RSA are participants in that standard.
So you mentioned RSA. What about IBM? You've got something going there with key management or with Sun/Storage Tech with their key management?
So we are, even with any of the, I mean, IBM and Sun both are storage partners. We are in discussions with them. At this point of time, you know, I don't have an update on that.
Okay. Thank you.
But certainly, you know, that's a focus area for us is integration with multiple key management solutions.
Yeah, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of John Burke of Nemerdes Research. Please proceed, sir.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I'm wondering if you could go into a little more detail on what you've seen in customer test sites for actual reductions in infrastructure using the Nport virtualization tool. You know, if hypothetically somebody had needed 60 fiber channel switches prior to introducing it, what did they wind up with afterwards?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So the Nport virtualizer, you know, does not reduce the hardware count. You still, so, you know, let's assume for the sake of discussion, have an IBM or HP blade server chassis. Typically, they have 16 servers. And if you want to connect these servers to the SAN, you need a switch, SAN switch, fiber channel switch. What NPV does is doesn't remove those hardware. In essence, what it does is you still need a switch, but this switch doesn't behave like a fiber channel switch. Instead, it behaves like a host bus adapter. So we transform the personality of the switch, personality of this hardware, from behaving like a switch to a host bus adapter. Now, by transforming the personality, there are some unique benefits that customers can get. The first benefit, of course, is, you know, you're not managing a switch anymore. It's a host bus adapter. It's like managing servers with host bus adapters. That's one benefit. The other benefit is, because the host bus adapter doesn't consume an address, you don't have to manage addresses, domain IDs, if you will. So those are the benefits. You still need the physical hardware, but you don't have to manage the physical hardware like a fiber channel switch. It gets managed like a host bus adapter. Now, I know of some very large financial services customers who are looking at, I would say, 2,000 to 3,000 server, blade server deployments in one data center itself, and they have many data centers to deploy.
So do you have a feel for reduction in operating costs as a result of switching the personality, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so clearly, right, so the answer is, you know, do we have any TCO or ROI numbers for this? If that's a question, you know, at this time we don't have any specific numbers in terms of how an enterprise could save, you know, by changing the personality from a switch to a host bus adapter. But certainly, you know, one could imagine, you know, the operational and the management savings by simply not having to worry about, you know, the example I gave, right, 1,000 servers roughly equal to 60 switches. If I don't have to manage 60 switches, well, is it one full-time employee or a half full-time employee, you know, dedicated on managing that, and one could do the math right there.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Rajiv, I have a question that I'd like to ask that was submitted prior to the call. The question is, what equipment is required to run SME?
Yeah, so to run SME, there are two ways we can run SME. Either SME can be run on a line card, which is the MSM 18-4 line card. This line card can go into any of our modular platforms, the 9200 series platforms or the 9500 series platforms. That's one option. Or the second option is it can run on MDS 9200 series platforms, which is the MDS 9222i. So 9222i comes integrated with SME hardware from day one. So I can enable it on MDS 9222i as well. So those are the two options.
Great, thank you. Operator, could we do another prompt for questions, please?
Your next question comes from the line of Pam DeLauro, DeLauro Group. Please proceed.
Hi, Rajiv.
Hi, Pam.
How are you?
Very good.
Hey, I had a question regarding Fibre Channel over Ethernet and the new products that you've brought to market. Can you talk a little bit about the future and what might have to happen for these to be enabled to work over that kind of a network?
So that I understand your question, Pam, your question is,
Hooking.
Fibre Channel or Ethernet, when it becomes available, how will these services run over Fibre Channel or Ethernet? Is that the question?
Yes, how will the services, but actually more, Rajiv, these the hardware products, the 9221, the 9222i, the 9134, the 18-4 services module, is there anything that maybe makes these a little more predisposed to work?
So FCOE, so FCOE stands for Fibre Channel over Ethernet, and so there's a trend within the data center in terms of unified I/O, and FCOE right now, Tam, is in the very early stages in terms of standardization, and we expect products from FCOE products to be, again, shipping in 2009 timeframe, earliest from our perspective. Now, the benefit of FCOE is it unifies the I/O. However, the fundamental core value proposition of FCOE is I have investments in Fibre Channel, which is FCP, which is in SCSI protocol. So all these services, storage media encryption, data mobility manager, all these capabilities, these services, which in essence are SCSI services. And then FCOE becomes enabled, the same set of services will reside transparently over FCOE as well. Because FCOE, think of FCOE as nothing more than, FCOE is in essence Fibre Channel, which runs over Ethernet. Happens to run over Ethernet as a transport media, but at the core, it's transporting all these SCSI interfaces. So if you fast forward in 09 timeframe, imagine if then a customer deploys FCOE for unification of a server, unified the I/O on the server, and they want, for example, encryption service. Well, it'll come to some sort of a gateway, and the gateway will hand it off to Fibre Channel. You connect your MDS 9222i, and you get this encryption service seamlessly.
Okay.
Because the core value of FCOE is transporting SCSI over Ethernet. SCSI, i.e. Fibre Channel or Ethernet. So, there'll be bridging capabilities and all the capabilities in 2009 timeframe where you could enable these things.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tam. Operator, do we have any additional questions?
No, ma'am. We do not have any additional questions at this time. Oh, I apologize. We do have a follow-up.
Okay.
Our follow-up is from John Burke of Numerities Research. Please proceed, sir.
Hi, I'm actually wondering about the services component of these announcements and whether you envision enabling actual SOA-style access to these as services that systems or applications can request. For example, differentially requesting encryption on some traffic streams and not others.
Right. So we have, so for example, that's a good question because right now we have the flexibility right now to say, I want to encrypt only some traffic, not all traffic. So So we can do that today. So we have, you know, from a wizard, one could say, I want all traffic from this backup server only going to this tape. I want encrypted. Whereas this backup server, when it talks to other tape, I want it clear. So you have flexibility to choose that today and program that and download policies onto the MGS today. The next level of optimization, just in extending on that example, is, okay, so that backup server talking to that tape, but I don't want to, you know, encrypt every cartridge there. You know, some cartridges are more important than the other ones. So as a follow-up enhancement to our portfolio on encryption, we'll go to the next level of detail saying that backup server talking to this tape, but only encrypt these set of tape cartridges. So all those policies, you know, we have the infrastructure of enabling. Today, it's backup server to tape. Going forward, backup server to tape to a specific cartridge. Those policies will be there.
But will that be something that has a published interface that applications can take advantage of?
Yeah, so, you know, from our perspective, right, on the MDS, what we're doing as we go forward on the MDS platform, we have a northbound published services-oriented API. So, for example, you know, as your example, right? Let's say we want to, if there's an application in the data center that wants to orchestrate or wants to take advantage of this encryption service, they will be able to invoke a services-oriented API from running on the Fabric Manager server and, you know, get encryption as a service enabled.
Okay. Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no questions in the queue. Please press star 1 to begin.
Rajiv, I have another question that was pre-submitted. The question is, how do you differentiate DMM from other competitive offerings?
Yeah, so DMM, you know, is for data mobility. And what DMM, think of DMM, so that, you know, let's look at other competitive solutions to solve the same problem, is customers have to deploy Volume Manager on the servers. That means, you know, I have to touch each server. I have to worry about, you know, host variants. I have to worry about OS variants. And, of course, it's disruptive if I have to install this Volume Manager on the server. And, of course, then I have, you know, the multiplying effect, right? I have to install it on multiple servers. So that's one comparative solution. The other comparative solution is I deploy an appliance in the network whereby the appliance now provides data migration services. You know, in order to insert the appliance, I have to rechange zoning because I have to reconfigure things now. Server talks to the appliance talks to the storage arrays, and now appliance becomes a single point of failure. If the appliance fails, you know, I compromise the integrity of my primary data here. DMM, in contrast, is a service in the SAN that requires no rewiring. It's a service that can be enabled, and then with policies can be disabled. Say, for example, you know, I have a data migration task. I come, download policies, do the data migration, and with a flip of a switch, take DMM out of the data path. So it's more of a tactical tool that gives you migration capabilities with flexibility to deploy it and take it out of service without any reconfiguration, without any rewiring, and providing it in an online manner. That's the benefit of DMM as it contrasts with other solutions in the market today.
Great, thank you. Thank you again, Rajiv, for presenting to our analyst community today. For those on the phone, thank you for your participation in today's teleconference. As a reminder, we will be sending out a short survey immediately after the call, and I wish to thank you in advance in providing your candid feedback. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the presentation, today's conference. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.